Robert Lu'uai opens the door to the Pu'unene mill for one of the last times. The VP of Factory Operations has been working at HCNS on Maui for more than 30 years.
When I first started, it was 13 mills, 1983. And we're the last of the Mohicans right now, at the end of the year.
Inside the building, it's loud. The ground vibrates as a conveyor belt above us carries freshly cut cane through a wash cycle. Every gear and piece of machinery is covered in a layer of brown dust, and a sweet, slightly burnt smell permeates the building. All of these things, Lu'uai says, he'll miss.
Doesn't feel too good, but life goes on, you know. Kind of saw it coming. The valley already looks different. You know, used to be green, now brown. You know, hopefully I find something, but just, you know, next stage of my life.
Sugar has reshaped life in Hawaii for more than a century. Dorothy Pyle is a retired history professor at Maui Community College. She says when Western whalers arrived in the islands in the 1800s, the Kingdom of Hawaii saw an opportunity for trade. But unfortunately, their arrival also brought unintended consequences.
With all the Westerners came all the diseases, and the population starts to decline. And what had been very full land, you know, full of people living a subsistence life, now there's going to be empty land.
That empty land created room for sugar. Plantations in the islands began to grow and became big business after the Kingdom of Hawaii reached a deal with the United States, removing tariffs from Hawaiian sugar exported to the U.S.
It grew and grew through the 1880s up to the 1890s period of time. And sugar is very labor intensive. Then it took a lot of hands, you know, the cutting and the planting and the hauling and everything else. So it made sense for the sugar industry and the Kingdom of Hawaii to look for people from the outside.
That need for labor brought immigrants from Asia, shaping the unique ethnic makeup of the islands. Some were likely the ancestors of Terry Freitas Gorman. She's the president of the Maui Native Hawaiian Chamber of Commerce.
Actually, my ethnic heritage is what I call plantation pedigree, right? So I'm almost in the order that they came. I'm Chinese, Portuguese, Japanese, and then part Native Hawaiian as well.
A Wailuku girl, Gorman grew up encompassed by sugarcane. Some of her memories from small kid times include running in the fields and hearing the crackle of cane burns at night.
You know, we call it Maui snow, right? But the ash would fall out from the sky. And, you know, you just knew they were burning cane. It was just part of life. You didn't really question it.
Gorman remembers growing up in a simpler time when Maui was still a sleepy agricultural town. Even the smell of molasses brings her back.
There's a word in Brazilian Portuguese that it's called saudades, and it means kind of a bittersweet memory. It's bitter because you kind of miss it, but it's sweet because it has such wonderful feelings associated with it. So whenever I would come home to Maui from college or whatever after traveling, that really distinctive smell of the molasses being processed, it really created that feeling of saudades in me.
Kua Kanto also has strong memories tied to sugar. She's a Hawaiian Homes Commissioner who now lives in upcountry Maui. As a young girl, she grew up in the plantation camps in Pu'unene. The camps, now long gone, were some of the first homes for waves of immigrants to central Maui. Her father, a machinist, would spend his days making intricate tools in the mill, whose smokestacks still loom over the valley. They still carried memories for her on a recent visit.
I walked by there, and it was tough because I envisioned where I used to come and pick up my dad, and you know, I could see him walking out with the rest of them, and hard work and good work, you know, good people.
It'll be hard to accept for many, like Kanto, who have considered sugar a part of their identity. She wonders what will happen to the remaining workers once the mill shuts down later this year.
As for the future, we'll have to see. But when the final close down days for HCNS does happen, it's going to be a lot of teary-eyed folk.
Kanto says she'll be one of them. Before we leave, she reaches into her purse and hands me a bottle from one of the last batches of Maui brand cane sugar. She tells me to hold on to it. It'll be a part of history soon. Molly Solomon for HBR News.